to go through together. Tonight, very familiar passage. Remember last week, Peter said, I go a-fishing, and he took six other disciples with him, and Jesus taught them that they were temporarily out of his will, because they caught nothing until Christ got involved and told them to cast to the other side, and they couldn't pull in all the fishes, there were so many. And in light of that, then, we find ourselves here on the seashore with Jesus and the seven disciples, but he only interacts initially with Peter here in John 21. So starting there in verse 15 of John 21, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So lovest thou me? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of opening your word and continuing to learn from Peter and the disciples and our Savior and here after the ascension or the resurrection. And we just pray now that you would teach us things and speak to our hearts through your powerful word. And we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is one of those rare passages where looking up the Greek actually helps a bit. The reason for that is because the Greek language has multiple words for the word love. English language, not only the one, and that's the word love. And so we have to at least understand that contained in this passage are two of the very common Greek words for love, and they actually have different meanings. You've probably all heard the word agape before, and that is the love that God has for us and the love that God wants us to have for him. It is a very powerful love. It is to love dearly and deeply, and that is the love that our Lord has shown to us at Calvary. And also, as again, the love he wants us to have for him. But if just a couple of examples. If you go to Romans 8:28, most of you know this verse. But in this verse, we see that God has promised that all things will work together for good. Notice what it says, Romans 8:21, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That word love there is the word agape, which again is this deep love that God has for us. When Jesus said in the Gospels, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, that was also the word agape, which is the love that God wants us to have for him. It is the love that he has for us, this agape love. It's in the New Testament 109 times. This agape, the Greek agape, translated as love or loveth or loving. Now, there's a second love in this passage, and that is the word phileo. And I'm sure I'm pronouncing these Greek words improperly, but I'm giving it my best shot. And that means to be fond of someone or to have a friendship type of affection. So if there's levels of love in Greek, which there are, obviously, agape is the highest and deepest love. And then the next one down is this phileo love, more of a friendship type affection. And in this passage, when we have this interaction between Peter and the Savior, we need to know which is which, because it adds to the passage some depth, if you will. So, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon, "Lovest thou me?" He's using the word agape there. "Simon, do you love me like I love you?" is what he's asking. Do you love me with this deep love that has just been displayed by me at Calvary? Ephesians 5:25, "Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church," agape, "and gave himself for it." And many times we read about the love that God has for us, John 3:16, "For God so loved," that's agape. Whenever we read about God loving us, or Jesus loving us, or Jesus doing something because of his love for us, it's always the agape love. And so he turns to Peter after Peter and the disciples getting a little bit of a rebuke for going fishing. And after he feeds them a meal, he turns to Peter and said, "Do you love me with this same love that I have for you, that I just displayed for you at Calvary? Do you love me that much? And do you love me more than these?" And I believe God asks us the same question, does he not? He says we're to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, is there something that we love more than God? And if there is, that's not how it should be. And so he's asking, do you love me more than these? Now, is he pointing to the fish or the other disciples? I don't know. It doesn't matter. What he's saying is, do you love me more than anything else? And everything else. Because this is God's perfect will, that we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love him more than we love anything else. Ourselves, our families, things of the earth, anything. We're to love God the most and more than all else. And that's what he's saying, more than these. Peter, it hasn't been that long since he denied the Lord three times. And this is after making his bold declaration that though all others will forsake you, Lord, I would never forsake you. I will go to death for you. And after making that bold declaration, of course, then he denied the Savior. And so Peter's learned a lot, hasn't he? And remember, after the resurrection there in Mark 16, turn back there if you would, the angel who was sent by the Lord to speak to the disciples and let them know that Christ had risen from the dead, here in Mark 16:6, he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you unto Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you." So the angel specifically said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter, who has denied me. Peter, who went and wept bitterly afterward. Peter, who Jesus looked at just before he went up to the cross. And then he went off and wept. Go tell the disciples and Peter that I've risen from that Christ has risen from the dead, and that he wants to meet with you and spend time with you. And so Peter has, the restoration process has begun. But he's learned. If anybody was quick to speak and slow to hear in the ministry of Jesus, it was always Peter, wasn't it? So now Jesus turns to him and asks him this very deep question. Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than anything else? But do you also love me with the same love that I have now shown for you? Agape love. Verse 15, he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." There, Peter uses the word phileo. Lord, you know all things, and I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to speak out of turn. I'm just going to be honest. I do love you, Lord, but I don't love you as much as I should. I don't love you as much as you love me. I love you at this point with this phileo love, with a friendship type love, not this deep love, this deep affection that you've shown for me at Calvary. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Peter, if you love me, even with that much love, what do I want you to do? I want you to feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest, agape, thou me. So Jesus asked the same question with the same Greek love a second time. Do you love me as much as I love you? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo. So twice Christ used agape and twice Peter used phileo. And said, I do love you, Lord, but I don't love you as much as I should. What does he say? Feed my sheep. Let's look at Matthew 28 and just be reminded that when Jesus gave the Great Commission, feeding the sheep was a big part of it. Yes, praise God, we're to share the gospel. And when people get saved, we're to baptize them. But that's not where it ends. That's where it begins. Notice Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now that's a big undertaking. Teaching them to observe all things that I've said. The entire New Testament, teaching them to observe it all. Well, you don't do that in a couple days, do you? Teach a new believer everything Jesus taught. That takes years. But that's what he's saying. People need to be fed. His sheep, his lambs, after they are born again and baptized, they need to be fed the word of God. And so now he says, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. So back to our passage, verse 17. He saith unto him the third time. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. How many times did Jesus ask Peter, do you love me? Three times. I doubt that that was a coincidence. But verse 17 is very interesting. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest. Jesus now asks phileo. Jesus has lowered it and said, do you at least love me with that kind of love, Peter? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love phileo thee. Peter never said agape. But Jesus said agape the first two times, but then lowered it to phileo the third time. And said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now, Peter obviously got this. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, his first epistle that God wrote through him, he then is writing to other elders. He's an elder. He's writing to the elders. And look what he says, verse 1 of 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, verse 2, feed the flock of God. So here's Peter now giving instruction to elders or pastors. And what's his number one instruction? Feed the flock. Sound familiar? Jesus just sat there on the seashore three times, said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And so Peter is now passing that on to the elders and saying, feed the flock of God. Feed them what? Word of God. All things whatsoever I've commanded you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Feed them the word of God. And so he now takes the time to give Peter a glimpse of his future, if you will. verse 18, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. In other words, Peter, you are going to be able to live to an old age. You're going to become such an old man that people will have to help you walk. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. You've now said you do love me, not as much as you should, but you're saying that you love me. I want you to feed my lambs, I want you to feed my sheep, and I want you to follow me. And this same Peter, who is unwilling at this point to admit unwilling to say that he loves Christ as much as he should, things changed after Pentecost. And if you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, we'll just get a glimpse. But the first half of Acts is all about the ministry of the Apostle Peter and his amazing commitment to the Lord and his willingness to give his all for Jesus Christ. Acts 2:37, and this is after Peter preached. And it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So after Peter's first sermon, they were pricked in the heart. God used him to work miracles in hearts through his preaching. Go to Acts chapter 4. We'll see another example. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. It says, then Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter never backed down after Pentecost. He always stood up for the preaching of the gospel. He was ordered many times by the religious leaders to stop, and he never stopped. Remember, he ended up in prison. Then God rescued him from prison as the church prayed for him. And so Peter, it sounds like, learned the lesson. Amen? That he needed to love Jesus the same way Jesus loves us. And if you'll remember, that's exactly what Jesus asked of us. If you go to John chapter 13, verse 34, he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. So now this new commandment comes into focus even more. John 13, verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Well, that in alone isn't a new commandment, is it? That we were told in the Old Testament to love one another. But then this next phrase is where what makes it new. As I have loved, agape, you. I want you to love others as much as I love you. As I have loved you. By this, verse 35, shall all men know that you're my disciples if ye have love one for another. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? What a question. But I believe God asks the same question of every believer. Do you love me? And we've all learned enough that love is what we do, right? Jesus said, do you love me? And every time Peter answered, his answer was then what? Go serve me. Go feed my lambs. Go feed my sheep. And then he finishes there in verse 19 by saying, follow me. Follow me. And most of us know Luke 9. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny himself and follow me. He said to his disciples early in his ministry, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So yet another object's lesson in the life of Peter for us. This is recorded for us, isn't it? So we can learn. What does God want of us? He wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants us to love him as he has loved us, and he wants us to love others as he has loved us. So the standard of love now has been given. It's at Calvary. And that is the standard of love he wants us to have for him and for others. This agape love. This love that's unconditional. It's independent of those that are being loved. That's the kind of love that God wants us to have. And it's a love that I personally believe is impossible without God's help. That's when we read of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. What's the first thing listed? The fruit of the Spirit is love. We need God to help us love the way we're commanded to love. But he's available. He lives in us. And he says, if you will yield to me, if you will walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Instead, you will yield the fruit of the Spirit. And the first thing listed is love. So we are to love others and we are to love God as God has loved us. And we show that love through what we do. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, and follow me. Peter, do you love me? If so, serve me. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you.